Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's message series, Invisible. But first, here's his message, Audacious Prayer.
Now, prayer is really our native air, certainly as followers of Christ. It is spiritual breathing because in Him we live and move and have our being. Prayer for all of us who name the name of Christ is not a last chance, but the first choice. I don't know about you, but as a believer, my biggest challenges typically are in the area of my prayer life. None of us are where we want to be, desire to be in terms of our praying. We are commanded to pray. It is one of the essentials of the Christian life. Not an option, but an obedience to God and an opportunity. An opportunity to receive from Him all that He desires to give. And our God is a good God. He's a gracious God. And He delights to give good things to His children. And it's amazing to me, as I'm sure it is to you, that we struggle in this area of prayer. When God has promised so much, I wonder when we get to heaven, how many unclaimed blessings will be there waiting for us because we never asked this side of eternity. We are to pray persistently, passionately, in dependence and in obedience. Prayer changes everything about me, starting with me. It changes my perspective in life. It changes how I view everything that I do. And when I learn to humble myself in prayer and hunger more for Him, I discover a life of dependence and obedience, and yes, a life filled with spiritual breakthroughs and benefits. Because God desires to give you good things. God desires to bless you beyond what you can even imagine. Prayer flows out of your relationship with Christ. When the disciples in Luke chapter 11 verse 1 observed Jesus praying, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." There was something about the prayer life of Jesus that was captivating and compelling. Jesus would often get up before daybreak and pray. He would at times pray through the evening and through the hours of the night. Before the cross, He poured out sweat, blood, and tears in Gethsemane, praying. He prayed over Jerusalem. He prayed from the cross. Jesus was a man of prayer. And so the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So Jesus gave them the words known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's not essentially the Lord's Prayer. It is more of the disciples' prayer, a prayer that Jesus gave for His disciples and all of His followers, you and me, to pray. It is a template, if you will, to pray. We can learn to pray the Jesus way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Begins with this relationship with Christ and the upward dimension of prayer, the vertical dimension of prayer, and then beyond the horizontal aspects of prayer as we pray for forgiveness, as we pray for our friends, as we pray for blessings from God, protection from the hand of God. This is the model prayer. And it is the basic level of all praying. It's a structure. Now, Jesus never taught us to pray with these words, but rather in this way. There's nothing wrong with praying the words of this prayer. I pray it often, in fact. But prayer is never to be routine or ritualistic. The prayer that God hears is the prayer that comes from the heart, because in praying we offer conversation with God, not only speaking, but listening. We don't show up to pray and say, "Listen, Lord, Your servant is speaking." But we show up and say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening." And God desires to bless us So prayer is not changing God's mind as much as it is finding God's mind. And when we pray, we discover the presence and the power and the peace that comes. We're to pray without ceasing. The scripture says that we're to always pray, to pray without ceasing. Prayer is not lip service, it is a lifestyle. More than your words, your life prays, but then it is expressed in the words that flow from the heart that is tuned to Him. Now, prayer is normal, and in that sense, it is natural to the believer. It's a supernatural experience, an event when you pray, but really it is the natural response to a born-again believer. We're not heard because of our eloquence. We're not heard because of our elocution, not the language of our prayers, the length of our prayers, or the logic of our prayers, but because of the life that prays before God. The word prayer that Jesus uses here in Luke chapter 11 is a word, it's the most simple and basic of all the words for prayer, and it means to wish forward. What is a wish? It is a desire. God wants to hear the desires of our hearts. Psalm 37 and verse 4, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our hearts. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your hopes. He wants to hear your desires, your dreams. He wants to hear about your failures as well as your successes, your fears, your frustration. But most of all, He wants to see your faith. Your faith. We can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything. We pray about our needs. We pray for our families. We pray for our kids. We pray when we are in pain and when we're suffering, when we're living in victory, when we pray about our finances. We can pray about anything and everything, always. But there are times when prayer becomes desperate. And that's a different level of praying. All the basics that I just talked about, all the dailies of prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We're to always pray like this, consistently, faithfully. But there comes a time when we pray with desperate and heartfelt cries to God. How many times in the Bible do we read when people cried out to God, poured out their lives before the Lord? Whole new level and a different kind of praying. And that's what Jesus talks about in His parable on prayer, known as the friend at midnight. Look at it with me, beginning at verse 5. And He said to them, "Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine,'" now He's talking about you, put yourself in this situation, "'for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.'" Now picture this scene for just a moment. In the Middle East, they went to bed shortly after dark. They extinguished the lamps, put the kids in bed, and then, rapping at the door, the neighbor next door, a friend, is knocking outside. Now, have you ever been startled in the middle of the night with that doorbell ringing or someone knocking on your door or that phone call? It's not a happy experience, right? It's frightening for one thing. But this man is knocking at the door. And he had a problem because he had friends that showed up at his house and his cupboard was bare. He had nothing to give to his friends, no food in the house. And in the Middle Eastern culture of that time in particular, hospitality to travelers and friends and family who arrived was of extreme importance. It would be a shameful thing not to entertain your friends or your guests, your house guests, whenever they came. And so this man is, his cupboard is bare. He has nothing to give. It's empty. And so he thinks, "I'll go to my next door neighbor. Old Joe's a good guy and So he just boldly goes and bodaciously knocks on that door. The man typically says, "Go away! Too late." But Jesus said in verse 8, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend," being a friend wasn't good enough to this guy. He said he didn't get up because of the man's friendship, but he got up because of this man's desperation. For it says, because of his impudence. We see that as a negative word. In one sense, I presume it is. It's a word rather which means shamelessness. This man throws aside custom and decorum, and in desperation, he knocks on that door until his knuckles are bruised. Why? He's trying to get bread for his friends. And Jesus said, because of this man's impudence, his shamelessness, his, here's an old word, a good word, importunity. Something so important, his importunity. The man opens the door. And that's when Jesus gave us this incredible word in verse 9. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, Audacious Prayer. Pastor, for the next 2 weeks, we have set a goal of adding 100 new PowerPoint partners. Can you tell us what a PowerPoint partner is?
PowerPoint partners are monthly donors whose faithful support has enabled us to pursue our core mission of preaching the gospel worldwide with increasing impact. Today, PowerPoint is broadcasting truth on TV in 113 countries. We're sharing God's love on the radio in over 800 cities. And over 5,000 people visit our website to watch messages full of biblical truth every week. None of that would be possible without our amazing PowerPoint partners. And that's what I'm inviting you to be a part of today.
Call today and get invisible as our thank you for your gift. When you sign up as a PowerPoint partner, we'll also send you a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Unseen. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message, Audacious Prayer.
We learn from Jesus here that we are to pray passionately, desperately, fervently, when the situation demands it. Big, bold, bodacious, audacious prayers. Not just to pray, but to pray on and to pray through, to pray hard. Jesus is not suggesting that we must beg God in the sense of forcing his hand. In fact, it is the opposite. This is a contrast. Jesus is about to show us that God, who is good and desires to give good things to his children, unlike this man who didn't want to get out of a bed to help his friend, if a human being would, because of importunity, because of fervent request, if a man would do that, think what God would do when we simply ask, seek, and knock. I do know this, that God does business with those who mean business with him. Away with half-hearted, heartless prayers. But may we pray shamelessly. May we pray with great passion, because it costs to pray like this. It costs blood, sweat, and tears, your blood, your sweat, your tears, to pray like this. To bruise your knuckles, asking, seeking, and knocking. But it's worth it, because when we pray, God moves. When we pray, God answers. He gives us all we need and more. His favor, which means God gives us more than we could possibly deserve. That's God's favor. We need to learn how to cry out to God, church. We pray for our country. It's crying time again. It's praying time again. Pray for God to revive His church, starting with you and me. Pray that God would renew our families, our communities. The family is breaking down. And with the breakdown of the family comes the breakdown of morality and meaning. We need to pray that God would give us good and decent and godly leaders. We need to pray for our fellow citizens, our neighbors, and turn our prayers to action as we serve. We have a friend in need. And let's pound on the doors of heaven in behalf of those who need God's love and God's grace and God's hope and God's healing. You see, this is prayer in a crisis. Again, a different kind of prayer than just ordinary prayer. This is extraordinary prayer. And today is a time to rev up our praying, to ratchet it up, to pray with urgency, with intensity, with importunity. That kind of praying. The kind of prayer that Jacob prayed when he wrestled with God and said, God, I won't turn you loose unless you bless me. And he was broken, but then blessed and became a prince of Israel. The kind of prayer that we saw in that woman in Luke chapter 8 who was diseased with a blood disease, and she was hemorrhaging, and she'd tried out every doctor. She was just living on doctors, and doctors couldn't help. And she heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and she wondered, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just reach out and take hold of his robe, then maybe I could be healed. And in that story, the crowd was preventing her from getting to Jesus. So what did she do? She worked her way through. Sometimes you got to work your way through when you pray. The distractions and the diversions and even people. And she kept inching her way through and working her way through until she could just reach out as Jesus was passing by, and she took hold of his robe and she was instantaneously healed. Jesus stopped, called her out, said, "Who touched me?" Because he knew that the power, the healing power that he possessed, had flowed out to someone. He wanted her to identify himself. Of course, he knew. But she professed her faith. Sometimes when you're sick and when you're hurting and when you're dying and when you wonder how you're going to make it, you just have to keep pushing through. You have to keep working your way through just to touch the hem of his garment. But that's the kind of prayer I'm talking about today, that Jesus told us about in this parable. It's the same kind of prayer when Jesus was coming off the mountain of transfiguration, when everything he was on the inside was displayed on the outside. He's visiting with Elijah. He's visiting with Moses. The disciples below are dealing with a demon-possessed boy. They tried as hard as they could to heal this boy and couldn't. So when Jesus came down, he saw the boy. He touched him. He was healed. The disciples were exasperated. They said, "Why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we heal this boy?" And Jesus said, remember what he said? This kind comes only by what? Prayer and fasting. That's the kind of prayer we're talking about. Often accompanied by fasting, where we give up and sacrifice some things that we love in order to ask, to seek, and to knock. This man who came at midnight knocking on his neighbor's door, he was not afraid. He was not ashamed. He was shameless. When was the last time you offered a shameless prayer to God? I think sometimes we're so afraid that, you know, if we ask for something too big or too great, God might not come through and it would be embarrassing. This man didn't care what others thought. He just cried out in the middle of the night for what he needed. We pray too many safe prayers. You know, generalized prayers. But let me tell you something. This prayer that he offered, this man was specific. He said, 3 loaves of bread. That was a day's provision. Give me 3. We pray these little safe general prayers. We don't know if God answers them or not. Hey, say this. The prayer that is selective is effective. All right? Tweet that. The prayer that is selective is effective. Give me 3 loaves. Tell God what you want, what you need. Because I love that song. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. James said, you have not because you ask not. I know this, the only prayer that God does not answer is the prayer that you don't ask. And Jesus closed this up by giving the principle. He said, how many of you, if you had a child, and the child asked you for a fish, you would give them a snake? All of a sudden, this turns into a horror story. Stephen King. Or your son asks you for an egg, and you give them a scorpion. What kind of father, what kind of parent would do that? And Jesus said, don't you know that if a sinful father would give good things to his children, that a loving and heavenly father delights to give good things to his children, he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. The Holy Spirit is linked to prayer in the Bible. He's called the Spirit of Supplication. He's our prayer partner. He prays with us in that we cry out, Abba, Father. He gives us words to pray and words to say when we are so broken we don't know what to say or how to pray. So when we pray, God gives us the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. I always enjoyed giving things to our children, still do. And I am a finite and erring and sinful father. And if I do that, if I desire to give good things to my kids, what do you think about a God, a Father who is neither finite, he is infinite, or sinful, he is perfect and holy? Don't you believe that God the Father would give good things to his children who ask and receive from him? I don't care what situation you may find yourself in. It's time to pray. But especially if you're in a desperate situation, and many of you are, you're in a desperate situation. Knock on heaven's door. Ask, seek, and find. And trust that God, who is faithful, and a Father who loves you, will provide for your every need.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Prayer That Prevails. The devil will stop at nothing to control your mind through lies, doubts, and fears that enslave you to sin and rob you of life. But you can experience freedom and victory when you let Jesus renew your thoughts with his truth. Dr. Jack Graham will teach you how in his message series, Invisible. This powerful resource is our thanks for your best gift today. And this month, we're asking for your help to meet an important goal of adding 100 new PowerPoint partners. If you become a PowerPoint partner with your first monthly gift today, we'll send you a special bonus gift of Dr. Graham's book, Unseen. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. 795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, the way I know that God answers prayers is because He has promised to answer our prayers. And God has never failed on one of His promises. I trust God. I believe in a God who said, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." That's Jeremiah 33:3, which some people call God's phone number. But God has promised over and over again that if we call unto Him, cry out to Him, pray to Him, seek Him, that He will respond and that He will answer our prayers. And He always answers our prayer. So what we need to do is to believe that because God has promised, His word is true, and to exercise our faith in Him, even though we don't see the answer, to be willing to wait on the answer and to follow Him in obedience until the answer comes. Jesus gave us a model for praying in what you know, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer really is an outline. It is a guide as to how we can pray daily and connect with Christ and hear the answer to our prayers, that we are to praise Him and worship Him and trust Him and ask Him for things that we need and to receive forgiveness from Him and protection. All of this is in the prayer that our Lord gave us, and it covers every specific concern and need in your life. One thing that I would challenge you to do is never stop praying. Keep praying until the answer comes. Pray with faith, pray with thanksgiving, pray with the confidence that God in His own time and in His own way will answer you according to His own will.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful message series, Invisible, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how your prayers can empower God's kingdom on earth. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.